Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 102 of the Still City Insider podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jeremy Ritz. We are very excited today. Jim, I didn't introduce you, but I want to get to Trey Essex joining the show, former offensive guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers, drafted in the third round in 2005, part of that 2005 Super Bowl team, currently has the Pod Me Up podcast. He'll talk about that, I'm sure, a little bit later, but Trey, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. Appreciate it, Wex. Thanks for having me on.
Trey, you were on the 2008 championship team, too, weren't you?
I'm about to say, Jeremy, don't sell me short now, man. You know, would have had three if Aaron Rodgers didn't want to be selfish and get his first one, but no, I was part of some great teams at Pittsburgh, but yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Wex.
Well, you're a media mogul now. I heard you on Starkey this morning. I said, you know, I could get Trey on our show, too. And then the Dean Lowry tie, you know, the Northwestern tie.
You know, you my guy, man, from our Fort Wayne tie and just my time in Pittsburgh, man. Anything you need, I'm going to come out and look out for you, actually. Anytime.
Is Dean from Fort Wayne?
No, Dean's not. I was just talking about me and you and our Fort Wayne ties. But, yeah, Dean is not from Fort Wayne. I'm not sure where he's from, actually, but Wildcats, that's us purple guys. We got to stick together. There's not too many of us out there. And so we've had a few that have graced the streets over there at 3400 Southwater. And he brings a lot of experience. He's been in the game, I think, now for like 8-9 years. His time in Green Bay, and I think his last stop was in Minnesota. And so I'm excited. It's good to hear. We need somebody like him with this type of experience and this type of mentality up front to help out with the young guys.
Should you worry that at 29, he maybe even be turning 30 soon, about a torn pec? I mean, that's what started doing in Aaron Smith.
Right.
And they're the same position. They're the same 5-tech body type. I don't know that Dean played 5-tech at Green Bay, but.
Yeah. It is a concern, especially with the way that they play. They got to extend their arms and they got to steer guys. And so whenever you're always afraid of a torn pec, you got to overextend yourself, especially with the way they got to use their hands up front on the D-line. But I'm sure he's training properly and hopefully we can prevent any kind of injury like that. But that would be a tough one if that were to happen.
And the other thing I wanted to get back to, the Fort Wayne thing, you mentioned you and I, you forgot Rod Woodson. He belongs right there with us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where I my Steelers fandom started before I even got drafted. And it was all because of Rod Woodson. I mean, he used to throw his football caps back home, and I used to go to him. And that's when I really became a fan of the game, back there in the Neil O'Donnell and Barry Foster days. And playing Tecmo Bowl growing up. And so Nancy Thigpen, they used to come back. He used to bring all the guys back, and they used to do a celebrity versus high school basketball game. And so I got a chance to meet a lot of those guys growing up, and that's where I truly developed my fandom, and it hasn't left me since.
Weren't you like an Indiana State High School player of the year in basketball?
That's my first love, man. Not many people know that, you know, but yeah, I started growing this way instead of this way. So yeah, football is what ended up sticking long term. But yeah, if you're from the state of Indiana, the great state of Indiana, you got to know how to play some high school basketball. That is what reigns king in that state. And I definitely had some good times. Was a state champion, actually. That was a big deal in Fort Wayne to bring that back home, because we hadn't had one in like 30 plus years. And so basketball is how I actually developed, I think, some of the footwork that helped me have the type of career on the football field that I ended up having.
I mean, when you do that in Indiana, that's saying something. That's like being a Pennsylvania State wrestling champion.
That's what I heard. It's very comparable, right? And so we definitely had some great teams and some great times back home.
So, Trey, just a quick question here. So, being a Steelers fan growing up, what was that experience like, not just joining the team, being drafted by the team, but also being part of those Super Bowl runs after, that long break?
I tell you what, I knew Pittsburgh was one of a few teams that were interested in drafting me. I took one of my visits, got a chance to meet the legendary Russ Grimm, but I didn't think they would pull the trigger. I wasn't sure. I didn't know how highly they thought of me until actually I got that phone call with the 412 area code. And I tell everybody, before I even heard a word, I heard Coach Calvert's chin through the phone. And so I was like, yeah, this is like, my parents had never heard me cuss at all. And so when he's like, are you ready to be a team? I was like, yeah. And so I was really geeked. And like, I couldn't have asked to go to a better franchise to play with the Rooneys, with that family, getting a chance to get to know them over the years. And then obviously getting drafted by Coach Cowher and Kevin Colbert bringing me in, and being coached by Russ Grimm, getting the chance to play next to Alan Fanick and Barbell Smith. I mean, I can go down the list of great offensive linemen that I got a chance to play with. It was a dream come true for me, and I couldn't have wrote it any other way.
Wow, that's amazing. And so we opened the show by talking about the signing of Dean Lowry, defensive end out of Northwestern. There were two other signings that we wanted to talk about here quickly. Quez Watkins, wide receiver. I know, Jim, you wrote a little bit about how he hindered the Philadelphia Super Bowl, what could have been a win. And then Kyle Allen, quarterback, backup. Any thoughts on those two players, guys?
Just to support my grip job on Quez Watkins, he was the Philadelphia papers just said, one headline had mistake-prone wide receiver signs with Steelers. And of course, in the story, he made the big drop in the Super Bowl. And the Philly fans will probably never forgive him for that. I don't know much about him other than that 79-yard wide receiver screen he took to the house in a Steelers preseason game against the Steelers. And he had a 91-yarder 1 year, but last year, not so much. And mistake-prone drops, fumbles. So they're gambling on upside here and speed. He's a 4.3 guy. So now they have two 4.3 guys. I think that's all. Calvin Austin and Quez Watkins. Do you know anything about Quez, Trey?
Just same things that you mentioned. I know that he's a speed guy. I'm not going to overemphasize these signings. I think they're truly depth signings. I think we still hit both of those positions come draft in the later rounds. But I think it affords the Steelers a little bit more time, maybe not to draft the receiver not quite so high. They've kind of hit a sweet spot with the talent they found between the third and fifth rounds anyway. And so I have faith in that scouting department and finding somebody that's going to come in and make an impact, because we do need somebody opposite of George, picking somebody dependable. And there's nothing left, honestly, in free agency right now. And as far as Kyle Allen is concerned, Kyle Allen is a guy that's been in the league for a while, had some starts under his belt. No, he was down in Carolina. He was in Washington. I think even in Buffalo for a little bit. So I see him as a good depth guy, good camp arm. I'm sure they'll also bring in a young guy in the later rounds. I see maybe like a Spencer Rattler type dude, like the fifth or sixth round, somebody, a project they could bring in. But all in all, I think they're just depth signings.
Yeah.
Well, the problem I have with not signing a wide receiver after trading Deontay Johnson is they definitely have to draft one high, at least third round.
Yeah.
I know Mike Tomlin was talking about how deep the crop is. So I'm thinking that one of those third round picks are going to go to wide receiver.
I can definitely see that.
But I mean, they draft wide receiver every year. I mean, isn't it time to really replenish the lines? I mean, they can finish that offensive line this year with a center and maybe a number three tackle. I hate to see them drafting wide receiver again. They brag about how good they are at it, but yet they have none of them left except Pickens.
Yeah. But I mean, if we're going to, in my opinion, really follow this Arthur Smith style of football, we have to reinforce this offensive line. Have to, without a doubt. We got to find an attitude guy to come in and play center. Somebody that's going to come in and demand respect, be that alpha male up front. Guys that we've had over the years, the Pounceys, the Jeff Hardings, the Demarney Dawsons, obviously the list goes on and on. That's a very prestigious position as far as the Steelers are concerned, especially on the offensive line. And we've missed out on some talent over the years in lieu of some people that aren't on the team anymore. Specifically, a guy that I really wanted, it was Tyler Lindenbaum 2 years ago in the draft that we got Kenny Pickett in. We'll be in a completely different position right now had we drafted him, and we've seen what he's done over in Baltimore. But I do think they will address that. I hope they do. There are a couple of guys I think worth taking in those first two rounds, and Powers Jackson out of Oregon and Frazier across the state lines over there in West Virginia. And then even SVP down here in Georgia, where I call home now. Yeah. Guy that Broderick Jones, I think, thinks highly of and is somebody that he tends to listen to. So I think we do address that position early.
You got to like Powers Johnson. Is that his name? Jackson Powers Johnson? Yeah.
Jackson.
You got to like his demeanor and size. And the same with Frazier. What's his name? Graham Barton from Duke is a left tackle who projects to center.
Yeah.
Some people have him rated number one. I don't know enough. And but the guy who really interests me is Jeremy. This was Jeremy's guy too. Would you call him Von Prawn?
Von Prawn.
His last name? S.
Something.
I'm SVP. I always forget his name. So I'm easier with acronyms.
Yeah, I'll stick with that. SVP. Tell me about him. I mean, say he's a third rounder or something like that. This guy can play, can't he?
He can play. And the thing is, he doesn't give you prototypical size at the center, at least is what you expect now. He's shorter arms, shorter trunk, but he's been part of championship teams.
Yeah.
And he's been the leader up front, getting all those athletes that they've had at tackle and at guard and to block and get everybody on the same page. And you can't overestimate how important that is, especially for a group that we have that has, for the most part, we've had some turnovers, but we got some guys that are going to be some familiar faces, especially next to him on the right side and James, and then Isaac on the left. And so you got two good guards right there. And then you don't need a statuesque type of center. You just need somebody that's going to come in, get everybody on the right page, do his job, not get pushed back into the center's lap or to a quarterback's lap. And somebody who's athletic enough to move, man. He is somebody. He may be shorter on the shorter arm side, but he is somebody that can get out in space and do some damage on the second level. And so I'm excited about the possibility of getting the third round. We don't have to give up a lot, or we don't have to reach for him. I think he'll be there around the end of the second, early third. And so hopefully he's there for the taking.
Okay. How difficult is it to step in at center in the opener as a rookie?
I think for guys that have played center their whole life, I don't think it's that hard. That's what worries me about a Barton, though. Somebody who projects as center but has never played it, because it's a different beast mentally, especially physically. It's a tad bit easier on your body because you always have help from the guards for the most part, but mentally the jump from the college game to the NFL game is night and day. And especially in our division, you got Baltimore, you got that Justin kid who just signed that big old contract hovering over top of you, or you got Myles Garrett twisting in and doing juke moves over the center. No, you don't want that if you never played a game before. You need somebody with some experience that has snapped the ball 1,000-plus times in big game scenarios. And I think the three that we mentioned in Frazier, JPJ, and SVP, I'll get that to you.
So Trey, let's say that the Steelers do go the route of maybe in the later rounds getting SVP. I'm not going to butcher the name. So then what would they, what would you see them targeting in that first round if they draft, get their center later on?
If they can get, well, if they can get, I think Frazier might be a reach with that 20th pick. Powers Jackson, there are some concerns I've heard from an attitude standpoint. I think he's a dog on the field, but I heard he's a, he could be a bit of a head case. I'm not sure about that. We don't need any more head cases in our locker room whatsoever. So that's the case. But in the first three rounds, I think we get a center. But if we don't go a center in the first two rounds, I think we got to hit D-line. I like that we signed Lowry, but we still need some young blood in there. We hit a home run in Benton last year in the third round. If we get another guy like that, I think we'll be set. And I think we can extend Cam's career even maybe one more year so he doesn't have to play 80% of snaps. He can play like 40-50% on the important downs and stuff. And so that's important, I think, for this D-line. We need a Cam to play as long as he wants to and get him some playoff wins. And so, and then I think another position outside of that is probably linebacker. I know we signed Patrick Queen, but we still need some depth. We don't know what's going to happen with Cole Holcomb. We know Landon Roberts is still coming off an injury, but that's all we have right now. We have Queen, Holcomb, and Roberts. I think Mark Anderson is still there too, right? And is that Mark Robinson?
Robinson.
Yeah.
That's Robinson.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think we're a little thin there, especially if Cole doesn't come back. I really like how Cole played, but he's been injury prone in his career thus far. And so I think we would be remiss if we didn't look at that position as also to fill in the early rounds.
Yeah.
But if we could draft two linemen to start, tackle center, you know, I'm a happy man.
I am too, and I'm not even a lineman. So yeah. I mean, that's what they need.
Yeah.
They definitely need a number three. I mean, people want to say they need to move Broderick to replace Moore and then slide some new right tackle in right away, but I don't see them doing that.
Right.
Dan Moore's in the last year of a rookie contract, so he'll be cheap. They're not going to cut him. He knows what he's doing. He seems to get better every year. I think with Russ as a quarterback, I think he'll even do better. I mean,
yeah.
Russ gets the pocket. I know he gets sacked a lot, but they need a three guy. So I can see them taking somebody like the Georgia tackle, because Broderick Jones told me last year that the Georgia coach made them practice both sides all the time. He wanted them to learn both sides. And like Broderick worked at one and then played the other, and Mims, he worked at left and played right. So I know he's only played, I think, 8 starts, Mims, but a lot of practice on both sides. And if they like what the Georgia coaching staff did to Broderick last year, then why wouldn't they think that this guy can play both tackles? And you're going to need that from your number three.
Yeah. And he's for somebody, like you mentioned, who only had 8 starts, and with Dan Moore going into the last year of a rookie contract, that would be the perfect scenario for him to come in and learn and not be rushed into a position right away. Mm-hmm. Get some NFL reps under his belt, play him heavy in the preseason, and just have him slowly adjust to the way things are done in the NFL. And so, and then he's ready to take over that position, maybe left, or maybe move Broderick to left and him to right come 2025. If Dan Moore is going to be a tad bit more expensive, we got 2 cheap tackles still. And so I think that would be the prudent move actually to do, especially if, I mean, we have a 35, 36 year old Russ that we want possibly to keep longer. And then we got a young guy in Jesse who's been hit left and right his entire career. And so protection is a premium and something that I think we definitely need to attack in this draft.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're definitely getting closer to the draft. This is last week in March. And this week, the NFL league meetings taking place, kind of changing gears a bit, and some new rule changes. I know you wanted to hit on these. The hip drop tackle has been banned. There's a new kickoff rule, which is very interesting. What thoughts on these changes, guys?
Go ahead, Trey.
Yeah, the hip drop tackle. And so, I mean, what can a defense do, man? It sucks for them. They can't catch a break. I mean, it's the only time that tackle comes to effect is when a defender has to chase somebody from the side or from behind. I mean, somebody's breaking away from them. They're doing everything they possibly can to get this guy down. So the first thought I thought, was Derrick Henry running down in the open field and you having to try to grab that guy, get him down from behind, and you have limited options as to how to do that. that's scary. And so I feel bad for these guys because I don't think, the Mark Andrews tackle, there's been some injuries to him, but I didn't think it was something that was really that prevalent that it needed to be banned. And it's something that's been around forever. And with the new CBA and the way that practice is now, you barely practice any kind of tackling, much less you never practice chasing somebody down from behind. Ever in football do you ever practice that technique. So it's going to be tough. They just made the game harder for defensive back, but I guess our defenders in general, but what else is new? This is the way the NFL is trending. So,
you know, what's weird is, you know, how Jaylen Warren got fined huge last year for lowering his helmet a little bit.
Right.
And my gut instinct and reading the tea leaves is that they were looking for any way to balance the fines between offense and defense, because defensive players have been complaining, you know, these offensive guys, you never find them. So, you know, Jaylen does a little thing like lower his head a little bit and he gets fined, what, $50,000?
Yeah, he got taken to the
woods. Just to even it up. Well, now this is not going to help even it up.
Yeah.
Another fine for this.
Right. Another thing, it just gives another subjective play for the referees to try to officiate. And I thought last year was probably one of the worst years for referees. And I actually feel a little bad for them because they have a lot on their plate. I get mad during the game, don't get me wrong, but when I get a chance to step back and look at their jobs, it's tough. And this is just another thing they have to officiate. And it's going to be such a huge penalty. It can literally be a game changer on a big play that you finally get the guy down and then what? 15 yards in the first down on top of that. And so, it's tough out here in these streets with these defenders.
Yeah. And it seems like with the new kickoff rules that no more fair catches, the kicking team can't move until the ball's in the landing zone. So I think this has got to benefit the returning team pretty heavily. And we might see some fireworks here because of this rule change.
That's good. Well, it's good to bring the kickoff to make it relevant again, because the last two or three years, it hasn't been. I mean, we haven't had a Devin Hester or Joshua Cribbs or a Dante Hall, guys that made their livings and their legacy through the return, being return specialists. And I can't name one now. Can you, Wex? I can't name one return specialist in the NFL. And so, well,
Calvin Austin, only because I know him.
He's our punt returner. He did pretty well. That's the only chance they really get those on punt returns. But yeah, the kickoff return has effectively been eliminated as a significant play in the NFL. So maybe this will add a little spark to it, you know?
I kind of like that. And I kind of like the dickering they're doing with the yard line. I mean, they're telling the kickers, don't kick it into the end zone. You don't come out to the 35-yard line. And then if you miss the 20-yard line, if you're short, trying to get a pop-up, so you more likelihood to hurt the returner, you get it at the 40-yard line. So you're going to have them kickers be a little more specialized, too.
I have no sympathy for them. That's all they do. That's all they do. They better get that right. That's all they do is kick. So.
Well, they hang out with the media on the sidelines during practice, too. So don't be... Don't be taking my last friends away, man.
Touche.
what I don't like about the kickoff rule is that it takes the onside kick out of it.
Yeah.
They say you have to report you're going to onside kick to an official, and only in the fourth quarter. But what does the official do then? Move everyone back to the other side of the field? And that pretty much tells the return team what's going on here.
Yeah.
I kind of like the onside kick as a last chance.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's an exciting play. No matter if, I mean, more times than not, obviously, you only recover like 12% of them. But it's still an exciting play because just that whiff of a chance, you got to have something incredible happen in the game. Onside kick kind of gives that to you.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we've covered quite a bit here today. And Trey, before we wrap up the episode, I know you mentioned that you have the new podcast, Pod Me Up. Do you want to talk a little bit about it? And we're going to post it in the show notes for our viewers.
Pop me up with my guy Richard Rodewald, who's which makes this dynamic interesting because he's a Browns fan. And so and Ohio State fan, the two teams I probably hate the most. And so, but we've developed a good rapport. And what I like about him is that he's a realistic Browns fan. He doesn't wear these Browns covered glasses. He's realistic, as realistic in the offseason as he is during the season. So we had some good banter going back and forth. And it's not just football, it's all sports, all things that are happening in life, current events. And so we just like to have a good time. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We just want everybody to come in and be able to and share their opinions. And we like to give ours right back. So pod me up. We try to come out every Tuesday and Thursday around lunchtime on Tuesday, and then in the evening on Thursdays.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely have that posted in the show notes. And Jim, anything you want to give a plug to? I saw you looking sharp, Jim, and on your Facebook. You had your
my Facebook photo. I'm just wearing my flannel today. I'm wearing my Fort Wayne styling today.
There we go.
Yeah, but you have like a suit on. You're looking good. Is that the picture for your book?
It's just a jacket. Yeah, a picture for my book and, you know, Facebook.
There you go.
Facebook, you know, people check your Facebook page out.
Yeah. You got to put your best foot forward. Wax looking good.
Exactly. I may even use one of those on my Twitter page, but I'm just going to go slow with all this stuff.
Give the people what they want, Wax. Give the people what they want.
you're looking dapper, man. I got to give it to you. I have to bring that up on the show today. So,
well, we'll push that book and that picture about September, I think, is when it's coming out. It's a coffee table book on history of the Steelers. It should be interesting. A lot of pictures.
Okay. Awesome. And then, Trey, real fast. Yes. Any socials that people can follow you on, Twitter or Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, I keep it pretty simple. I keep everything the same. It's just my name on Facebook.
Okay.
And then on Instagram and Twitter, it's TreyDay79, spelled TraiDay79. 79. And so, yeah, check me out. I'm just me, just being me at all times. So.
All right. Well, Trey, we appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your insights here. And I'm sorry, my omission there about the 2008 Super Bowl at the beginning. Hopefully that doesn't keep you from coming back on. But it's been a great show. We appreciate you. And we thank the viewers and listeners for joining us for episode 102. And we will see you back here for another episode next week. 103 is Still Sitting Insider Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye. See you guys. Bye.